Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. A crisp, I don't know, about 35 degrees. I might actually have to wait till about 11 to go out on the course today. We'll see. I don't like doing that. Anyway, as we get ready to wrap up and take a hiatus for about a month or two here, I like to end our shows with people who I find really interesting, as I've always done every year we've done this show. And Dave Shedlosky is certainly one of those people. He's a contributor to Golf World and GolfDigest.com, and just his Twitter is terrific. So I thought, let's get Dave back here, and he joins us now. Hi, Dave.
Matthew, hello. Good
morning. Nice to talk to you again.
And you.
All right, we got a couple of things we're going to touch on here. And since it probably seems like a long time ago, but you were in Paris, France for the Ryder Cup. And before we started talking on the show, you mentioned, I think the word was disgusting, you used to talk about the play of the United States team. Let's start there.
Well, it was actually the word dyspeptic, which means very nauseating. But disgusting works just as well, man. Disgusting, dyspeptic, you know, disorienting. I don't know. We could keep going. It was disappointing. How's that?
Okay.
Just an incredibly inept performance by the American team. Wholly unexpected. And frankly, you know, for all we can say about the American team and how badly they played, we also have to say that Europe played wonderfully, and they were prepared, they knew the golf course, and they were clearly the better team. We can't take anything away from the Europeans.
I agree 100%. Let's start with when did you get to Paris that week?
I arrived on Tuesday.
Okay.
And immediately was you know, thrown into the press conferences, the pre-tournament press conferences. Tiger was on Tuesday. He looked tired. He was definitely exhausted from winning the Tour Championship and the long season after 2 years off. It had to be a long season for him. And frankly, he never woke up, and neither did the rest of the American team. And I don't think I ever actually got on Paris time either. So maybe I was at fault as well for not having my A game either.
Yeah, and I was going to talk to you about that, because clearly you had something to do with this. So you're out there at Le Club National. Of course, as you mentioned, the Europeans play the French Open there every year. Their guys had, I don't know, a collective 7 million rounds on that golf course, and we had 8 or
roughly.
something like that.
And it was 4.
Yeah. And
by Justin Thomas.
And hit right. That it's a good thing Justin played over there, went over there. But
right.
I have mentioned on the shows after the Ryder Cup, and actually leading up to the Ryder Cup, that it seemed like Thomas Bjorn, we all know that how important the Ryder Cup is to the Europeans and how seemingly kind of unimportant it is to the Americans. But Thomas mm-hmm. Bjorn had been working on this for a long time and set it up like the mad scientist. He was perfect in what he did preparation-wise, golf course-wise, all of it. How do you think, okay, let me get to this question. Did you get a sense over there? We talked a lot of trash before we went over there. Did they actually believe it, or was it just like total hype? The Americans,
Yeah, I think they believed it, but a lot of that trash talk was done by Alan Shipnuck of Sports Illustrated, who said that after the President's Cup, in which the Americans thoroughly embarrassed the international team at Liberty National in New York, after that, Alan Shipnuck said that the American team, as it was constituted in New York, wasn't going to lose for 10 years. And then he followed up by saying that the Europeans better get used to, he wrote an article and said, you better get used to this idea that the Americans are going to dominate the Ryder Cup for at least a decade. When the European winning press conference, guess who the Europeans were looking for? It wasn't really the American team that was so much talking about this, but yes, at the winning press conference with the European team, they said, "Where is Alan Shipnuck?"
Yep.
They read. They definitely read. But I don't know if that in and of itself was what fired them up. They just care more about the Ryder Cup because they get a kick out of beating America, and
yeah.
they hate to lose. And America doesn't hate to lose enough to care, it seems. They play well in the President's Cup, and I think it's because they care just enough, and your international team is not quite as organized.
Right.
The Ryder Cup is something different, Matthew, and we see it all the time. I mean, nine of the last 12 now that the Europeans have won.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in 2 years, because we'll be back here, and maybe we'll learn something about setting up the golf course and things like that, and
you'll see that. Yes.
Yeah, you will see that. I want to get your thought on something else that the Ryder Cup brought up, and I've been asking all of my knowledgeable friends, of which
sure.
you are certainly one. A lot of people actually enjoyed seeing our pros, because it didn't affect the Europeans as much. But one of the complaints about the PGA Tour is, too many birdies, 22 under, 23 under, and everybody just, it's a drive and a wedge for a lot of these guys on all the courses they play on the PGA Tour now. Where do you come on the idea of maybe changing some of these tournaments on the PGA Tour here to narrower fairways, a little bit more rough? Where do you come on that side of the argument?
Well, I just take a look at the tournament that is local to me here in Columbus, Ohio, and that's the Memorial Tournament
right.
at Muirfield Village. Jack Nicklaus has 3-inch rough and very fast greens. The winning score is still pretty low, but not 22 under low.
Yeah.
It's usually in the 9, 12, 15 under range, depending on the softness of the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a setup where, driving it in the fairway matters, positioning on the green matters. And look, one of the reasons that the United States Golf Association comes under so much scrutiny and criticism, yes, sometimes their setups are severe, but pros don't see that kind of a setup very much, and so they're not used to it. And so we see some complaining, and the courses are too severe, and the
right.
setup is too severe. Well, that's what they faced in Paris at Le Golf National, and it just. Yeah, it kind of exposed the American team to what they're used to, and that is that the bomb and gouge era that we're in.
And are they going to do anything to change that, or is it just going to keep going?
I think that's a marketing thing with the PGA Tour. They definitely want to see birdies, and they want
yeah.
to see scoring, and that's what they think people want to see. And that's why the U.S. Open ends up being so fascinating, why the British Open, depending just on the weather conditions and so forth, is so interesting, because they are a departure from what we see week in and week out. But, hey, look, that's what is marketed. That's what it seems that people want to watch. They
mm-hmm.
want to see Dustin Johnson or Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, and Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth. They want to see them be able to kind of attack a golf course. And, to some degree, you can't argue with that from, from the financial side. But
right.
you're right. When they get to something like this, they do seem out of their element.
All right. Before we move on, you're a guy that I know bases his work on integrity and honesty and true journalism. I want to know what you heard about the whole Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson thing while you were over there. What really happened, Dave?
I didn't actually hear anything while I was over there, but I did talk to some people who were there,
yeah.
and some people who had seen what had occurred, and it certainly was a disagreement. There were no punches thrown,
right.
no physicality to it whatsoever. These were two guys that had a long week. They were tired. They probably had a beer. Maybe two. I'm not saying there was any drunkenness or anything like that.
No, of
All
course
thing
not.
Is yeah. that these were two guys that had, gone through a long week. They're best friends. It's like you fight with your brother. You have an argument. It gets a little heated. There may be some shouting.
Yeah.
And the next day, you're still brothers.
Yeah.
In this case, they are kind of brothers. They're very close friends.
Yep. And they could have been talking about college football for all we know.
Who knows?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Dustin Johnson joked that they were arguing about Brett Kavanaugh,
yeah,
Supreme Court justice.
Yeah,
I mean, well, you know, I don't even know what the argument was about.
Yeah.
All I know is they had a disagreement,
yeah,
and it was sort of like boom, and then it's over.
Okay,
and
all
that's
right.
It.
Yeah, you're not giving it up. I get it. Oh, okay, I get it.
No. That's what I. All is what I heard.
I
heard four.
Okay, sure.
So,
yeah. All right. you mentioned how tired Tiger was.
Yes.
Let's talk for a minute about Tiger. We all know what happened. 80th win, East Lake. It was one of the best things, because I'm such a huge Tiger fan, that I've ever seen, not only in the world of sport, of golf, but the world of sports. Your feelings on kind of where we are with Tiger and what happened.
I think we're all amazed.
Yeah.
Regardless of what we've seen in the past from Tiger, for him to be out for two whole seasons, to have undergone this spinal fusion surgery, which was basically a last resort from, you know, a surgery standpoint, mm-hmm, trying to fix this thing. I think he basically thought, I'm going to get a better quality of life out of this. Maybe I'll play golf again. Maybe I'll play golf pretty well again. I don't even think Tiger thought that he was going to be able to accomplish what he did this year. And for a guy that has amazed us, winning 14 majors and, you know, the number of victories, mm-hmm, by the margins that they have, for him to do this and for us to be amazed is pretty phenomenal. And you just got to take your hat off to the guy. And yeah, I think, you know, maybe the hunt is back on. They're trying to reach Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors. I certainly think he's got at least one more major in him, and he ought to be applauded for just, I mean, it's not just the comeback of the year in golf, but in sports, and a phenomenal story. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yep. But it's interesting to me that even on Tuesday at the Ryder Cup, you could tell what. Frankly, I'm not, I think Jim Furyk made a couple of mistakes with his pairings and how he handled. I don't think it would have mattered at all, but that was one of the ones, you know, to put Tiger continuously out there after what he had just been through was. I thought it was pretty ridiculous, actually.
You make a great point. And yeah, he should have been reading the tea leaves a little better. I think Jim would say that may have been one of his mistakes. There weren't that many. I think he was a good captain. But yeah, Tiger should have been treated like Phil. Hey, go out and play once and see if you can make five birdies at best ball and then just rest for singles.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely 100% reading that right.
Okay. In the couple minutes we have left at the end of this season and the beginning of a new season already.
Yes, already.
Already. How exciting, right? Now we know how. Are you keeping up with the FedEx Cup points already for like next year? Oh, my Lord.
You know when I pay attention to FedEx Cup points? When the tour gets to Akron.
There you go. Yeah.
Of course, they're not going to be here anymore.
Right.
They're moving to Memphis. But yep. it was usually around the 1st of August that I said, hey, you know, who's going to play really well here to get in the top 125?
Right.
After that, it's just really about, you know, winning tournaments, getting in the Masters. I think that's the big thing. I you couldn't argue that anybody playing golf this fall who isn't in the Masters, that's the number one thing on their mind is, if I win, I'm in the Masters.
Right.
And you know what? That's really kind of where we're at, I think, on focus, even though it's 6 months away.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's the big thing.
Well, I can't, ooh, that hurt, 6 months away. I mean, actually just saying that kind of hurt.
But, I know. Believe me, I'm looking at fall here in Ohio, and it's chilly here too. So yeah.
Yeah.
We can't wait for spring.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, and you really are just a really interesting guy, and I appreciate your time. And we're going to take a little hiatus on Backspin Golf, and as soon as we get back up, I'll be calling you and having you join us again.
I hope so. The conversations, Matthew, are always stimulating.
Thanks, Dave.
Much appreciated. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Well, Sean, I'm getting kind of melancholy now. Coming to the close of this great Backspin Golf season, just for a little while. Sorry, Chris Mascaro. Chris told me he's going to need therapy. No, he won't. I told him I'd call him on Sunday morning at 8 just to talk some golf. I want to thank, of course, our guests, Dave Shedlosky, Jerry Foltz, how great to have him on. He does such great work on the Golf Channel. Dave does great work, too. And, of course, Perry French. We'll be back next week with, I guess that'll be it for a little while, right, Sean? The final episode of Backspin Golf just for a little while, and then we'll be back. We need a break, Sean. It's been... Sean agrees. What a great year it's been, season, whenever. Thanks to our incredible partners, Man of War Golf. I'll be there all winter in the heated bays working on this new swing change I'm making, and it's going pretty well so far. Edwin Watts Golf for all the great stuff they always have going on there. Lexington Parks and Rec for the great golf courses we have here. That'll be covered in snow soon, but then we'll be back out there. And, of course, French Lick Resort. Jerry Foltz was just up there for the Senior LPGA Championship. Just an amazing place. It's a great place during the winter, too. There's a ton of stuff to do up there. We'll see you all next week right here. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. Hey, peeps, stay tuned. Coming right up, it's the Titans and the Chargers, the NFL from Wembley Stadium in London. See y'all next week.